not fit to sit on this seat, so I'd be sitting on a lower seat. Because he is higher than me. And I had to go take a quick shower, but I forgot to take off my clothes. That's an American joke. So happy to be in Chaupati. Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. Not Chaupati, but Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir. This is not the material world. Prabhupada said that. Our temples are not the material world. Prabhupada said, I'm not going to New York, I'm going to the temple. I'm not going to Los Angeles, I'm going to the temple. And he says, this is as good as Goloka Vrindavan. And with a resident of Vrindavan, like his divine grace, Radhanaswami Maharaj. You can't say that, I can say that. But I can say his divine grace, because I know more. He is a resident of Vrindavan, and therefore he has created Vrindavan here for you. You're very, very fortunate. And I am very fortunate because I get your association. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janna Balaba Giribada Dadi. Gopi Janna Balaba Giribada Dadi. Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Rajajana Ranjana Kira Onachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Channa Balaba Giribada Dadi Gopi Channa Balaba Giribada Dadi Nandana, Rajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana, Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Satara Satta Shri Srimad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajakacharya Ostatara Satoshi Shimad His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananti Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Sukho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinatha Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhana Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Mathura Dham Ki Shri Dwarka Dham Ki Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Shri Navadvip Dham Ki Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Ganga Mayi Ki Chamuna Mayi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakta Devi Ki Somaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jagat Guru, Savior of the whole world, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Garanga Hari Hari Guru. Special magical gift here in this package, and I wanted to show it to all of you as a special benediction for coming today to Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. So all of you, keep your eyes peeled here, because you may see it or you may not see it, but if you see it, this will purify all of your heart. Here it is. Srimad Bhagavatam! Very exciting. This is the one I studied from. In preparation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nasta Presa Bhadeshu Nicham Bhagavate Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtake Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devam Sarasvatim Vyasam Tuto Jayam Mudirate. Does any Bhagavatishu Nicho Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhakti Bhavati Nice? We said that one twice. Okay. So who knows what that means? Who knows what nasta praisa padveshu nityam bhagavata sevaya? What is the English translation? Does anyone want to venture? Okay, because it's important to know both, right? Or to learn it in Hindi or Gujarati or whatever you speak. Nasta praisa padveshu nityam bhagavata. By regularly attending the Bhagavatam class and rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is inauspicious within the heart of the candidate becomes destroyed practically to a nil. And thus, loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental hymns, comes into be established as an irrevocable fact. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we do when we gather like this. It's an amazing, amazing occurrence. Prabhupada one time said, if you knew what you were doing, you would faint. Then, Narayanam namaskritam naram chaiva narottamam devam sarasvatim vyasam tatojayam udirajet. Who knows that? Who can say? So that is, before beginning the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest. We're conquest. We're on an adventure. We're on a mission, which is our very, and the means is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So before beginning Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer the respectful obeisance unto the personality of God, Nar Narayan Rishi, unto the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, and unto the author, Srila Vyasadeva. So we offer our pranams to all of them. A little background music. So because... Tashapi Tava Deho Yam Kripanasha Jijivisho Parati Anichato Jirno Jaraya Vasashi Iva Tasha pita vadeho yam. Inkripanasha jijivishaha. Inkripanasha jijivasho. Parachyani chato jirno. Jaraya vasasi iva tashyapi tavadeho yam kripanasya jijivisho parachyani chato jirno jaraya vasasi iva.
Tasa pita deho yam. Sha of this api in spite of tava your deha body I am this kripanasha of one who is miserly jijivisho of you who desire life. Parati will dwindle. Anichita, even unwilling. Jirna, deteriorated. Jaraya, old. Vashashi, garments. Eva, like. Translation. Despite your unwillingness to die, your desire to live even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Please repeat. Despite your unwillingness to die, and your desire to live even at the cost of honor and prestige. Your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The words kripanasha, jijivisho, are significant. There are two classes of men. One is called the kripana, and the other is called the brahmana. The kripana, or the miserly man, has no estimation of his material body. The brahman has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The kripana, having a wrong estimation of his material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength. And even in old age, he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a kripana, because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path, even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries of material existence. And life should be so regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy. So it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction gets rid of the nescience of material existence. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment.
Om Jnanati Maranda Shakyananchana Salakaya Shakchurumi Tamnyena Tasmai Shivu.
I was born in the darkness of ignorance, where my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet.
Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamani.
Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvisesa Sunyavani Pasacharya. So this part of the Bhagavatam, it's very interesting. I was thinking why the Bhagavatam is called the Amala Purana. It's the spotless Purana. It has no contamination in it. The different parts of the Vedas actually deal with different motivations. One deals with the mode of goodness, one deals with the mode of passion, and one section of the Vedas deals with the mode of ignorance. And therefore, there's worship in each one of these gunas. But the Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't deal with, especially does not deal with the tamaguna or rajaguna. And really doesn't even deal with sattva-gun. It is sudha sattva-gun. Everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam is completely transcendental and is in connection with Krishna and therefore is not different than Krishna. Words spoken of Krishna and Krishna himself are not non-different. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in the your transcendental name, you have invested all your transcendental energies, and therefore there's no hard and fast rules for chanting this holy name. Oh my Lord, you have so kindly made approaching you so easy by the chanting of your holy name, but unfortunate as I am, I have no taste for it. So, the Bhagavatam is also just like Nam Prabhu, because the holy name of Krishna is Krishna. It is a personality, and the Bhagavatam is also a personality. So, in it is describing a man called Dhritarashtra, and this person, even though he was blessed with you know, very nice family, high parentage, and so many different factors. He was the son of Vyasadeva. So exalted. But because his desire for prophet adoration and distinction was so strong, he committed so many offenses. By allowing his sons, who were sin personified, Dhritarashtra and the Kurus, sin personified, their cousins were the most intimate associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These are my cousins, right? I know in India, everyone's a cousin brother, right? You're all related. People call me uncle, and I don't even know their name. But they were directly cousins, really brothers. But it just goes to show you the power of the illusory energy. So why is someone like Dhritarashtra mentioned in the Amala Purana? You know, you would think, well, we can read about Prahlad Maharaj, we can read about Dhruva Maharaj, right? We can read about the Pandavas, all the great devotees of the Lord. Why read about Dhritarashtra? Because Dhritarashtra is a very important element in the Lord's preaching. Of course, he was very sinful, but he was very, very fortunate as well. And why was he fortunate? He committed so many offenses against his nephews and Kunti Devi. He knew what was going on, and he allowed those things to happen because he wanted his sons, you know, put on a throne. But even though he had so many offenses, he had one very, very fortunate brother named Vidura. And this is the power of Sadhu Sangha. That even though in our lives we may be very, very sinful, we may have committed the most abominable activities, because we have come in contact with Srila Prabhupada, he is lifting us up. I am also Dhritarashtra. And I have committed so many offenses against devotees and against Krishna. By Srila Prabhupada's mercy, he is Vidura. He has lifted me up. And that's why we pray the lotus feet of our spiritual master is the only way we can attain pure devotional service. I bow to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross the ocean of material suffering and obtain the mercy of Krishna. Isn't that incredible? Guru Puja was always my favorite part of the morning program. Prabhupada, when I joined the movement in 1972, which is probably older than most of you in here. And there wasn't Guru Puja when I joined. It wasn't introduced till 1974. Every morning we would do the Sanskrit, we would sing Shri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Satma. And then at the end we would say the words in English so that we weren't just chanting. And what did we just say? I don't know. I don't know what that means. Right? But it was so beautiful. And I thought, the lotus feet of the spiritual master are the only way by which we can attain pure devotional service. Right? He opens my darkened eyes and fills my heart with transcendental knowledge. He is my Lord, birth after birth. From him ecstatic prema emanates. By him ignorance is destroyed. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. Our spiritual master is the ocean of mercy, the friend and poor, the friend of the devotees. O Master, be merciful unto us. Give us the shade of your lotus feet. Your fame is spread all over the three worlds. We take shelter of your lotus feet. And that's what we just did. That's what we just chanted for Guru Puja. So that prayer is so incredible. that if you understand that, you will understand everything there is to know in Krishna consciousness. That is the, like portal. The portal out of this material universe and to Goloka Vrindavan. That is the secret of success. You know, in life, you know, whether you're in business or politics or whatever your activity is, there's secrets of being successful, right? And there's so many things. You can go to seminars and they'll tell you how to do this and how to do that and so on. I've done some real estate in America, and I went to the real estate seminar, and they told you this trick, that trick, and I learned a few tricks myself. And so those secrets make you successful, right? But even if you utilize all of those secrets, sometimes you fail. You crash and burn, right? The beauty of Krishna consciousness is you are always a winner. You never lose. No one ever loses in Krishna consciousness. All you have to do is apply it and stay with it. The only way you lose is if you quit. And my father used to always tell me, winners never quit. And quitters never win. So never quit this Krishna consciousness and you will always win. It is such a pure, perfect formula. In the spiritual sky, everyone is a winner. There is no poverty in Goloka Vrindavan. Every tree is a wish-fulfilling tree. Every stone is a touchstone. Everyone has a home that looks like this. This is Radha Gopinath's home. But they're so kind. They give everyone a house like this. And there's no envy. There's no hate. There's no cow killing. There's no war. And there's no COVID. Hare Krishna. Krishna says, Masucha, don't be afraid of all these things. They're all fearful. When I joined the movement, there was a war called the Vietnam War. Prabhu, you probably remember that, huh? You're old enough to remember. Vietnam War. It was a horrible war. And I was a young man, and they were drafting. Whether you wanted to go or not, they would draft you and send you over. And in that war, 58,000 Americans died. And 250,000 were maimed with no legs, no arms. And they killed 2.5 million people in Vietnam. Can you imagine? 2.5 women, children. So I was protesting that war. I actually don't like war, except I like the Battle of Kurukshetra, but that's a different thing. But these wars are not like the Battle of Kurukshetra. These are money wars. It's for making people rich. So we were protesting. There was so much stress, so much anxiety and division. But I have to tell you, there is more anxiety now than there was even back then. This world doesn't, and even though we have all this technology and all this advancement and so forth, everyone is so stressed out and so fearful, so afraid. But what is there to be afraid of? This COVID, they say you can die, so many people die, you can pass it on, this and that. But you're going to die anyways. It's like if you see someone, he's sitting there, and like this man here. Look at, he's breathing. Wow. He's breathing. No one thinks anything of that. We're all breathing, right? You know, he's drinking some water. Oh, my God. It's amazing. Oh, no, don't drink water. And they think, oh, you'll get COVID, you'll die. Oh, you're not going to die if you get COVID. Do you know how many people die on the planet Earth every year? Anyone have any idea? Don't look on your phones either. Because I already looked on my phone. 60 million people die every year on this planet. 60 million. Before COVID, after COVID. We're going to die. So when people become shocked that people have died, what is the difficulty? And Krishna says that from the highest Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravachano Jina, from the highest planet in this universe down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. Repeated birth and death. So why are we so shocked at this death business? Krishna says, for one who's taken birth, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. That's also a problem. Death is not, you know, they're thinking, well, death is a problem. Birth is a problem. We have to take birth here. Prabhupada said that the mere fact you are on this planet, you are fool number one. So look at the person next to you. Say, hello, my dear Muda. We're all fools because we were with Krishna. We were with Krishna. Prabhupada said from time immemorial, Hare Krishna. There's one Govindam album that Srila Prabhupada gives a whole dissertation about the soul's journey from the Goloka Vrindavan. Somehow or other, we have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the same thing. Somehow or other, we have done this. Such an insane idea. Insane idea. Why, we're on Goloka Vrindavan, there's no birth, there's no death, there's no COVID-19, and there's no, what's the other thing? Birth, death, disease, and old age. There's no old age. And if people, you young people think, oh, what's old age? That's no big deal. Oh, yeah, I thought that too. When I joined this movement, I was 19 years old. Now I'm 69 years old. And I look in the mirror and I go, who's that? Oh, my God, that's me. Old age is a problem. Old age is a problem. But when you know the science of the soul, you'll understand that actually old age is a desirable thing. Because it's like, get ready, because here comes the next thing. There's Janma, right? Then there's Vyadi, diseases, because even children get so many diseases, right? So like, oh, what? My child has the measles, my child has typhoid, my child, right? They get diseases. And then Jara, then you grow old. There's only one thing left, right? So here, Vidura is explaining to Dhritarashtra, despite your unwillingness to die, he's unwilling to die, but he really doesn't have a choice. We don't have a choice. Prabhupada says, as sure as death, and death is sure. As sure as death. So, what did Prabhupada say in the previous? He said, 5,000 years ago, there was one Dhritarashtra. But at the present moment, there are Dhritarashtras in every home. Who's the Dhritarashtra in my home? Hare Krishna. So the good news is that we have come in contact with a person like Vidura. And would you like me to tell you how I met Srila Prabhupada? Because it kind of is in line with what we were talking about in the Guru Puja, Guru Vandana prayers, the lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way we can attain pure devotional service. I bow to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross this ocean of birth and death. That's the only way you can conquer this death, is by the lotus feet of the pure devotee. That's the only way. Nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. No other way. So, I first went to the temple in 1972, and I had been reading Sri Upanishad. I bought it from a devotee in the parking lot. He distributed the book to me, and The Perfection of Yoga. So I had been studying some other yoga books. Very interesting that Radhanath Swami and his journey, my journey, was very similar, except I just stayed in Detroit and did my whole journey at the library where he went all over the world. But so I also studied all different yoga groups and then finally got Prabhupada's books, and then boom. And then when I went to the temple after I'd been chanting Hare Krishna, and I happened to show up there on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance day. So that was very auspicious for me. But then I finally moved in, became brahmachari like all these boys here. Not all the boys, but not you. You got to shave your beard first. But any rate, I moved in, and they sent me out on Sankirtan, and I started distributing books. Anyways, I got initiated in 1973, first initiation, and I had not even met Srila Prabhupada face to face. And I had been distributing his books, you know, for over a year. And then I took initiation. And then in 1974, I joined in Detroit, Michigan, a place called Deva Sadhan. Radha Kunja Bihari, as a matter of fact. I was thinking of that as we were chanting. They're very, very beautiful. They're my saviors. But so Prabhupada was coming to Chicago, which is where Radhanath Maharaj was born. Prabhupada was going to Chicago in 1974. For the first time, they were bringing Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra to the streets of Chicago. And I was there. And I was Prabhupada's bodyguard. I was not so, I was more energetic when I was younger. So, and bigger and stronger, not fat and old. But at any rate, I was Prabhupada's bodyguard. So, Sri Govinda, who was my, or he was the temple president in Chicago, he said, I want you to be with, he said, Uday, I want you to be Prabhupada's bodyguard. I said, well, what do I have to do? He says, well, you have to be with Prabhupada all the time. I said, well, I can do that. And he said, and if anyone gets near him, you take them out. I said, I can do that too. So, Hare Krishna. Any rate, Prabhupada, I was a Sankirtan leader in Detroit at the time, and I was traveling on traveling Sankirtan distributing books with four other brahmacharis. We were living in a van, and I had this van. So he goes, oh, you got to get to the airport. It's rush hour, you know, and all the devotees are already there, and you're supposed to be there when Prabhupada gets off the plane. So I said, driving about 100 miles an hour over the freeways, and it was a whole thing, but it was a big traffic jam. And so then I started driving on the grass. I was like in India. I was trying, and people were like, what, are you crazy? I said, I'm from India. What do you mean? This is how we drive there. So anyway, I got to the front of the airport, and I just pulled I knew which terminal he was at, but I didn't know which airline. Foolishly, I was, you know, 20 years old and didn't even stop to think about, well, what airline is he on? So I pulled up to the terminal, pulled the car, van right up to the curb. We jumped out and we just started running through the airport. Our dhotis flying everywhere and we're running. And in the distance, we could hear the cartels. And so it was just like a magnet. It was drawing us to the sound of the kirtan. And then we heard boom, 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 boom. And we turned down this hall, and we're running down the hall. And then we turned down another hall. And then finally, the noise got louder and louder. And then finally, this whole, like, crowd, these massive, like a mob, there was like 400 Hare Krishnas in the airport with 10 mridangas and 10 pairs of cartels. And it was just like a freight train. And there was, and people were dancing and they were laughing and they were crying. And right in the middle of it all was His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He was like the whirl of the lotus flower. They were like the petals. And he was like the whirl. And I saw him. And it was like, and the first thing I thought, let's see, we have some pictures. All right. Let's see if well, that's not my favorite picture. But usually, like when you see Prabhupada walking with his cane, is it very noble, right? You've seen pictures of that? And all of a sudden, there was Prabhupada walking, just came, just with his head up. I said, oh my God, he looks just like his picture. And I was like, shut. And I offered my dandavats right there in the airport, spread out there. And I got up, and Prabhupada was coming right towards me. And so I jumped up, and I went up, and there was one sannyasi. Oh, that was the other thing Sri Govinda said, Uday, you have to stay right next to Srila Prabhupada. I said, okay, I can do that. So, you know, I'm a brahmachari, and it's pretty audacious, but when some sannyasi was walking next to Prabhupada, and all the devotees are jumping and chanting, and I came running up, and I go, Maharaj, I'm Prabhupada's bodyguard. I have to stand next to Prabhupada. And he looks at me like, who are you, right? And then he goes, oh, okay. And so I got to be right next to Prabhupada, and we're walking, and I was, like, intoxicated. I was like, things were getting dizzy. He was about, you know, 8 inches from me. And we're just, Hare Krishna. And I was just like, I completely forgot I was his bodyguard. And then I thought, oh no, I got to do my service. So then one man, you know, we had problems sometimes on Sankirtan. The atheists did not like us at all. And, you know, they didn't like our enthusiasm. And there was a hedonistic hippie culture that was engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. And we were preaching, you know, no illicit sex, no intoxication. They're like, no, intoxication, sex life, that's what the purpose of life is. And we're saying, no, that's why you're in this the bondage of this material world. So we had a conflict. So there was this one big hippie beard, long hair, standing there like this. I could see, and he was right in the middle of the hall, and he was right in Prabhupada's path. And I was going, oh boy, here we go. So, have you ever heard of American football?
Yeah.
You did? I used to play American football. I had a scholarship to Brown University. I was very good at tackling people. This hippie did not know that. So I was like, uh-oh. So I pretended like I didn't notice. I saw him fully, but I was kind of looking at Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is walking, just like an emperor, right? And he's standing there. And the devotees, no one's looking. Everyone's looking at Srila Prabhupada. I'm looking at the hippie. And he's looking at Prabhupada. And it all happened in just like a flash. We got to about 5 feet, and I just burst into him. I grabbed him by the shirt, and I lifted him up, and I rammed him against the wall. And we were like 2 inches from each other. And he was looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and I went, Hare Krishna. And all the devotees just kept on flowing, like nothing even happened. They were all like looking at Prabhupada. Hare Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just walked. He didn't look back. He didn't even care. And then after I departed from my friend, I went running because I had to catch up because I'm Prabhupada's bodyguard. And I'm not with Prabhupada. So then Srila Prabhupada, dignitaries, people who are aristocratic, they have limousines, right? They have their chauffeurs, and right? If the president of the United States, etc., right? They'll have their big Lincoln Continental, Ford Lincoln Continental stretch limousine, and they'll have their driver, right? That drives these dignitaries, business dignitaries, Bollywood stars, right? They're all in those big cars, right? So Prabhupada not only had his limousine, his Ford Lincoln Continental limousine, but his driver was Mr. Ford himself. Ambarish Das, who is the great-grandson of Henry Ford, was Prabhupada's driver. And he got a limousine from the Ford Motor Company, and they donated it. I mean, they let him use it for the day. But he was Prabhupada's driver. So I thought, that was apropos. So Prabhupada got into his limousine, all the devotees. There's like 400 devotees. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! We're all dancing. And Prabhupada drives off. And then they're all going, Hare Krishna! And then we realize, hey, no one's back at the temple. So Prabhupada took off. And they all had to go to the car park to get their cars and that whole thing. Except Uncle Uday had parked his car on the curb. So I just jumped in my van, and me and my brahmacharis jumped in the van, and we were driving again 100 miles an hour. I'm back in India. And we caught up to Srila Prabhupada, and we passed him, and we got back to the temple, and we pulled out, and we got out, and one boy played mridanga. I led the kirtan. When Prabhupada got out, I led a kirtan for Prabhupada. Prabhupada looked at me and smiled. So that was really the first time I met Srila Prabhupada. But then I got initiated, second initiated, directly with Srila Prabhupada in his room. And that was where this connects with the Sri Guru Charana Padma, Kevala Bhakati Sadma, Bando Mui Savadana Mate. So Prabhupada was in the Brahmachari Ashram. They had separate rooms, and it was in Evanston, Illinois. beautiful. It used to be a YMCA, and it was completely converted. And they had one room. They brought the Vyasa-san from Detroit, big, beautiful Vyasa, and put it into Prabhupada's quarters. And one sannyasi, Sudama Maharaj, was serving Srila Prabhupada really nicely. He was cooking prasadam. I got to stand at Prabhupada's door, and because I'm his bodyguard. And I'm just like watching Prabhupada take prasadam. I mean, it was amazing. It was like seeing the Krishna book open. And there was a personality. And it was like one of the coward boys. It's like Sudama. There's Sudama taking prasadam. And it's not Chip Rice. But so Prabhupada was there and taking. And then later on, each candidate had to go into Prabhupada's room alone. And so they called me. And I remember Prabhupada was sitting on this Vyasa-san. And he was sitting right on the edge, very straight. I mean, just so regal. And Maharaj had this, you know what frankincense and myrrh is? It's this really smoky incense that creates a lot of smoke. Anyways, it's something they use in rituals in the Catholic Church. But anyhow, Sudama Maharaj had all this. Prabhupada liked it. And so he had like five containers all in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa-san with all this, this frankincense burning. And it was burning. It was like a cloud burning along, you know, all billowing just below the Vyasa-san. And it looked like clouds. So when I came into his room, I looked at Srila Prabhupada. He was sitting on the Vyasa-san, and it looked like he was floating on top of a cloud. And I said, wow. I know he's a master of mystic powers, but anyway, so I offered my obeisances. And an incredible thing happened, which never happened to me before and never happened to me again. I was on my knees and I looked up and Prabhupada was sitting there and he was looking right at me. And my eyes met his eyes. And this incredible phenomena happened to me. And some devotees have told me it also happened to them. And Prabhupada looked at me, and the way he looked at me, it was as if he knew everything about me. Like, there was no point in being pretentious. You are what you are. And it was, and even though I am a very low and despicable character, it was, and he was the most exalted. He's a Jagat Guru. He's the spiritual master of the entire universe. So here, the most exalted and the most fallen coming together. And he looked into my eyes. And it wasn't like the look of, like, you are a dog. But rather, it was a look of infinite compassion. I've never had that experience. This look of compassion. And it was so deep, it went right into my heart. And I thought, and it was so intense, I had to drop my eyes. It happened maybe 3 seconds. But it was like an eternity, and all of this like transpired. And it was like, stop suffering in this world. Go back home. Go back to Krishna. So I looked down, because it was, Guru means heavy. He was so heavy. It was unimaginable. Anyway, so then Prabhupada said, come close. So I crawled up to him. He said, give me your right hand. And like, because I'm like, you can well imagine, I can't even breathe. What to say, lift my hand up. And I'm going, which one is the right again? I'm like, here's my hand. And he took my hand. and he took my thumb. And ironically, I never actually watched any of my Brahmin godbrothers do Gayatri Mantra. So I never knew how, you know, you go to with your thumb, right? Like you probably, everyone probably knows that in India. But I really didn't know. I hadn't a clue that this is what he was going to do to me. So he took my, I didn't know what he was doing. But he goes, take your thumb and put it on this digit. And then you move it to this digit and then to this. And I was thinking, what's a digit? No, I didn't see it. Then he went here, 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 here. And then he said, repeat after me, Om Bhur Bhuva Svatat Savitur Rain. Anyways, if you know the Gayatri Mantra, I'm not supposed to tell you. But so he showed me the whole thing. And he's touching my hand. I go, I'm being touched by a pure devotee of Krishna. This is, my head's about to like explode. And so, so I'm there and then went to the whole Gayatri Mantra. And then Prabhupada said to me, he said, are you, he said, so are you preaching Krishna consciousness? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada, I'm the Sankirtan leader in Detroit. And then Prabhupada went just like this. Oh, he lifted his finger up just like this. He said, always preach Krishna consciousness. That was a direct instruction. So forgive me if I committed any offenses with you, but he told me, always preach Krishna consciousness. So then I was like, I was terrified of one thought, that this moment was going to end. I was thinking, why can't I just stay here forever? Right? But then Prabhupada went, all right, like this. And then, like, you now you can go, right? And I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then, like, I bowed down. And in my mind, I was thinking, how many millions of births have I taken and wasted, squandered life, birth after birth after birth after birth? And then all of a sudden, in this life, this great fortune, I'm before a Mahabhagavat, pure devotee of Krishna. Like, don't you think you should have some kind of question to compose before him, some kind of inquiry? You're talking to the spiritual master of the universe. He can answer any question that you have, give any benediction imaginable, right? That I, and I'm trying to seize the moment. And I did have, I had a question. And I didn't know exactly how to say it to him. But I was off, I could feel myself, you ever heard of chickening out? They call it being a chicken. In America, if you're scared, they call you a chicken. So I was like chickening out because I was off. I offered my obeisances, and then I just drew all the strength and courage that I had in my being. I said, Srila Prabhupada? My voice was squeaking. He goes, yes. Can I touch your lotus feet? And as soon as I said it, I go, wow, what a nerd. Did I just say that? And Prabhupada looked at me. And he smiled. And he said, that is not necessary. And I went, yes, sure, Prabhupada. And then I felt like just like such a dork. So I offered my obeisances again. And I went out the room, and right out the door was my two godbrothers, Vaisheshika Prabhu and Sur Das. They're very good friends of mine. We used to distribute books together. And they said, Uday, what did Prabhupada say? What'd you say to Prabhupada? What'd you say? I said, can I touch your lotus feet? And they go, oh, no, Uday, you didn't. Yeah, I did. But there was a method to my madness. Why would I ask such a thing, right? Because Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sattva. The lotus feet of our spiritual master are the only way we can attain pure devotional service. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. By his grace, one can cross this ocean of material suffering and attain the mercy of Krishna. That's what I wanted. That's all I wanted. It was a selfish motivation. I just wanted to attain the mercy of Krishna. So Prabhupada, so then, now I'm in a fix. Because I'm Prabhupada's bodyguard. And every time Prabhupada would walk out the room, I would offer my obeisances, and his foot would come, voom, right there, and my hand would be like, But he said, that's unnecessary. And I was so frustrated. And then we'd go down to the temple room, and Prabhupada, and I'd have to stand next to Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. And Prabhupada told me some jokes. It was very funny. But it was, you know, what can I say? It was, that's why I'm here today. This all happened. So, should I tell you the rest of the story? Because it's probably the most intimate part of my life. And it had to, something to do with this experience. It was connected. So, anyways, we had the ceremony, and I think even the Radha Damodar party was there. And Prabhupada initiated maybe 50, 60 devotees. And it was very, very blissful. But then Prabhupada left and went to, I think, Los Angeles or San Francisco. I went back to distributing books. So later on, this was 1974. Later on, I joined the Radha Damodar party and with Vishnu John Maharaj and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And we traveled around distributing books. There was 100 brahmacharis. And it was very much, actually, I have to say that one of the reasons I love coming to Chaupati or to Radha Gopinath Mandir is I feel like I'm in a time tunnel, that I can go back into time. Because all of you are so sincere. And Radhanath Swami has done a miracle. This is how it was when Prabhupada was here. And I can't say all over our world of ISKCON it's like this, but it is here. I feel very great happiness being here, because you're not deviating and you're trying to embrace the teachings of Prabhupada. You're very intelligent people. You can cheat, but Krishna knows you're cheating. Prabhupada said, all that you have learned from me, all that you have heard from me, you must repeat without any alteration or addition. No alteration, no addition. If you change what I have told you, you will be finished. So we have this jewel. We don't want to make it a broken glass. Keep this. Keep the purity. And you have. This is the formula. This is Prabhupada's formula. And Radhanath Swami is so, you know, he's kept it. He's kept that same purity, and has become so exemplary. He's one of Prabhupada's favorite disciples, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be here. But at any rate, back to the story. So in 1977, I was back in Detroit, and I was traveling with the temple president, to India. We came to Vrindavan in October 1977. And Prabhupada was very sick. And at that time, I met His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami for the first time. And that's also a very, very long story, but for the past 30 years, I became very, very close with Bhakti Charu Swami. He's my best friend. And as you know, this horrible thing called death. No one wants to talk about death. People think you're morbid if you talk about death. Yet, it's like breathing. It's like drinking. It's like eating. Death is there, for sure. Right? And it's very serious. But it's so painful. Why is it so painful? Because it's not natural. For the soul, there's neither birth nor death, nor having. Once then, does he ever cease to be? Nahanyate anyamane sarire. He is not slain when the body is slain. When the body dies, the soul is eternal. It's eternal. You're not slain. So, Srinivasacharya says, the only pain in this world is the departure of the pure devotees. When a pure devotee leaves, it's painful. It's so painful. So, in 1977, I met Bhakti Charu Swami. He was serving Srila Prabhupada. I can't even tell you how perfectly of a servant he was to Srila Prabhupada. He actually joined the movement, and in 2 weeks, Prabhupada gave him first and second initiation. And then 1 month later, he gave him sannyas. And he stayed sannyas for 44 years, perfect sannyasi. And then he went back to Krishna Loka. That is the power of my Srila Prabhupada, is that he can make pure devotees of Krishna. And all of you here, whether you know it or not, whether they allow you to acknowledge it or not, but I will say it because no one can do anything to me. I'm Prabhupada's disciple. Your guru, your spiritual master, is a pure devotee of Krishna. He is an Uttama Adhikari. There's no doubt in my mind. You may say, how would I know that? Who here has met Bhakti Charu Swami? Who has seen? Raise your hand if you have seen Bhakti Charu Swami. Who thinks he's a pure devotee of Krishna? Raise your hand. You think so? I know so. I know so. Because for the past 30 years, every time I came to India, I stayed with him. And we traveled. And in 2020, I traveled with him for 6 weeks. We traveled all over West Bengal doing Pando program, where 25,000 to 30,000 people would come. And he would give a lecture, and all 30,000 people would get up and start chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Radha Gopinatha Ki. So he is a pure devotee. Bhakti Charu Swami, there's no doubt, not even an inkling of doubt in my mind. I'm 100% convinced because everything he did, he was always Krishna conscious. One time they said, actually, one of my godbrothers came up to me. I was at the Rath Yatra about 3 weeks ago in San Francisco. We had a big Rath Yatra. It was very nice. And there were several of my godbrothers there. One was called Bahu Shira. He's a very nice boy. He's from Boston. Anyhow, he we were talking about Bhakti Chhu Swami. And, you know, when Prabhupada was going to give him sannyas, there was complaints by the GBC and some other sannyasis that he's a new man. We can't give him sannyas. And Prabhupada said, don't think he's a new man. He's not a new man. And then he told me, Bahushira said, he said that Prabhupada said to the sannyasis that were complaining, he said, he was more advanced at birth than you are right now. That's what he said. Now, if Maharaj were here right now, he would beat me with a shoe for just telling you that. But, I mean, he is here because he reasons ill who say Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. So he is here, but I want to see him beat me with a shoe. I would love that. But any rate, so he's a pure devotee of Krishna. And the thing is that there used to be a thing in ISKCON where we would say, no one is a pure devotee. No, you can't say anyone's a pure devotee. This was for years and years and years. And he said, except for Srila Prabhupada, he's a pure devotee. Everyone else can fall down. Okay, so that, and for good reason. A lot of people fell down, right? So, yeah, not a pure devotee. Don't think I'm a pure devotee. I'm not a pure devotee, right? That would be ridiculous to believe such a thing. But then, so after 20 or 30 years of doing devotional service, I was talking with Bhakti Chhu Swami. And I was thinking, wow, he's always talking about Krishna. He never is engaged in sense credit. He's always chanting his round. He translated every single book of Srila Prabhupada into Bengali. I mean, Prabhupada, it took a whole life to do those books. When Maharaj told me, this was back in 1984, I said, Moh Harpo Maharaj, I was in England at the time. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm translating Prabhupada's books. I said, oh, which one? And he said, all of them. And I said, oh, all of them? Really? Okay, wow. So that's what you're going to do for the rest of your life? He said, no, I'll have it done. I said, okay, good luck with it. Because, you know, he doesn't only translate, you know, he has, you know, the Sanskrit, and then he has to do each word. But the translation has to be all done word for word. The purport all has to be done word. It's inconceivable how much work that is. And in 5 years, he translated every single one of Prabhupada's books. Not only that, he had an opportunity to go to a town called Ujjain. And this was, I don't know, about 10, 12 years ago. And he said, oh, Uday, I bought some, I'm getting some land donated to me in Ujjain. I go, where's Ujjain? He said, it's in Madhya Pradesh. He goes, I want you to come there and see what you think of this land. I said, okay, yeah, I'll go there. So I went there, and it was just an empty field. There was nothing, right? And I was like, okay, yeah, I guess you could build a temple here. And then he goes, no, I've got this. I got a 20,000 square foot marble temple all planned, and I'm going to put this ashram here, and I'm going to put these grahasa quarters over here. And I go, okay, so in the temple, you're going. When are you going to start on the temple? He said, oh, we're going to start. We're going to have the stone setting next week, and you're going to be part of it. I said, oh, okay. So then. I said, so we did the whole, you know, we put Ananta Sage down in the cornerstone, did the whole ceremony. And then after it, it was very blissful. I said, so Maharaj, what do you think? It'll take like five or 6 years to build this temple? He goes, no, I'm going to build it in a year. I said, oh, okay, right. you know, like you're going to finish your books in 5 years, which he did. And he did it in 10 months. He did it in India in 10 months. You couldn't do that in the United States in 3 years. It normally would take 10 years in India. He did it in 10 months. And then he had a big, so he was empowered. I realized, oh, this person is empowered by Krishna. And, you know, I went to so many hundreds and hundreds of lectures by him. I watched him, you know, I scrutinized. I'm a fault finder. I could not find any fault with that personality. And then I was like, you know, I was talking to one of my godbrothers, and I said, you know, Bhakti Chuswami, I think he's a pure devotee. He goes, yeah, well, of course he is. You didn't know that? I go, well, I'm a slow learner, you know. So I'm talking to Maharaj, and we're talking. I never said anything to him like that. But then we were talking about Radhana Swami. And I go, isn't that amazing what he's done there in Chalpati? It's me. And then I said, oh, wow, he's so pure body. And I said, of course, he's not a pure devotee or anything. But and he stopped me. And he said, what do you mean he's not a pure devotee? I said, well, we're not supposed to say, you know, that anyone's a pure devotee of a problem. He says, no, Radhana Swami is a Mahabhagwat, pure devotee of Krishna. Now, that didn't come from that came from his mouth. And when he said that, my tongue became like a loaf of bread. I was like, oh, God. I couldn't even say anything. He was so definitive about it. It was like, oh, okay. And then I realized Radhana Swami is also a pure devotee of Krishna. So Maharaj would be furious. So don't tell him that I'm saying this. But all of you should understand what you have. Why am I telling you this? Because on July 4th, 2020, my best friend left this planet. And there were so many things I wanted to say to him. And I didn't get to say. And, you know, so, and Radhana Swami helped me very greatly. I was pretty devastated by the whole event. And so I'm very grateful to Radhana Swami. And he has promised me something. I can't tell you what he promised me because he hasn't kept his promise yet. He gave me a lot of mercy, and I wanted to thank him personally. But at any rate, when is this supposed to be over? Where's the temple? Did all temple management leave? They're like, oh no, Udai's going on for now. What time do we conclude? Huh? Okay, I'll just go a few more. You want me to finish the story of Prabhupada? Okay, so sorry to get off on the tangent, but it's kind of like all connected. It's all connected. So in 1977, I went into Vrindavan. I went to Vrindavan with Govardhan Das from Detroit. And we were in the Krishna Balaram guest house, like 2 minutes. Prabhupada had sent one of his servant, Upendra, knocks on our door and says, Prabhupada wants to see you. So we went running. I said, can I come too? Because I wasn't the temple president. He goes, oh, yeah, of course you can come. So we came in and we went through Prabhupada's garden. If you've been to Vrindavan, you know Prabhupada's quarters. You have to go through the garden. You can come back into his bedroom in his office. Anyway, we were coming through, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj stopped us and said, before you go see Srila Prabhupada, we have to forewarn you that Prabhupada is not like you've ever seen him before. because Prabhupada was always so healthy and full, and Prabhupada hadn't eaten in 6 months. And he said, and we want to say only encouraging things. Don't bring any politics in, any problems in the temple. Don't bring anything. Just say things that will encourage Srila Prabhupada. And so we're going, okay. And he said, and above all, don't cry. Don't make Prabhupada sad if you're to see his disciples sad. We said, okay. We got it. Okay, we're going to go in. So we went in, and Prabhupada was laying in bed. And we went around his bed to his feet, and we offered our obeisances, and we stood up. And Prabhupada was laying there, and he was emaciated, and his face was sunken, and he was all just skin over his bones. It was horrible. And he was going blind, and he couldn't even see to the foot of his bed. He couldn't even see. And we were standing at the foot of his bed, and he was laying there. He was sitting up at the time, and he said, oh, who has come? And Tamal Krishnamaraj said, oh, it's Govardhan Das and Udayananda Das from Detroit. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh. And he said, and then Prabhupada, it was inconceivable. He said, oh, are you comfortable? Are your quarters nice? Are you happy in Krishna consciousness? And how is Ambarish? And how is Lake Shivanti? And are all the devotees getting nice prasad? Prabhupada hadn't eaten in 6 months, and he was worried whether we had prasad. And the more he was just, not once did he say, look at me. Although we were looking, not once did he say, and he was clear, like a, it was like he was completely transcended the mode of material natures. He was just crystal clear in asking all these questions. In the meantime, the temple president put his chadar over his face and started weeping uncontrollably. So Prabhupada's asking all these questions, and he's crying. So then I have to answer. So I'm saying, oh, yes, Srila Prabhupada, everyone is so happy in Krishna consciousness. Thank you so much for giving us prasadam distribution. And I told them all about the Sankirtan that was going on. And I told them some funny story, and all the sannyasis were laughing. Prabhupada was smiling. And then I couldn't take it anymore, and I had to cover my face, and I had to cry. And then by that time, the temple president stopped crying, and he started talking. But that went on for about 45 minutes, and then Prabhupada said, go take prasad. And we went back to our room, and we cried for 2 hours. But then, here was the miracle. I took a shower, and I was going to go chant my japa in front of Krishna and Balaram. And I came walking out past Prabhupada's quarters, and Prabhupada's servant came out, and Upendra. And he just stopped me and said, Prabhu, could you do me a favor? And I said, sure, Prabhu, what is it? What do you need? And he said, could you come in and be with Srila Prabhupada? And I'm like, huh? Can you come and be? And I said, what? And he goes, Prabhupada keeps asking for all his devotees to come from all over the world. He wanted everyone to come. And for some reason, they're not coming. No one knew. You know, it was a weird thing that happened. But I was there. And I said, of course I can come in. So I went in and I sat at Prabhupada's feet. And I just chanted japa. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I chanted from 2 to 9 o'clock at night in Prabhupada's room. And every so often they would say, hey, can you go get someone? And I'd go get them and I'd come back and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I just stayed at Prabhupada's feet for the whole day. And so, and then 9 o'clock, they said, oh, everyone has to leave now. And so as I was walking out, Upendra comes up to me and said, thank you so much for being with Srila Prabhupada. And I'm thinking, am I in some kind of weird dream here? This is the goal of my life, is to be at the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And he's thanking me for being at his lotus feet. So then I go, Prabhu, well, and I'm a Sankirtan devotee, so like I'm going to get a donation out of him, right? But I'm going to ask for the big, and I'm going to try to get, hey, give $100, why not? Give $5? So I said, so, Prabhu, can I come back tomorrow? And he goes, oh, would you? And I'm like, oh, Krishna, I'm in Goloka Vrindavan. I go, yeah, when can I? He said, well, when would you like to? I said, well, how about after Mangal Arti? You know, I have nothing around. You know, I figured he'd say, no, between 11 and 12, you can come. You get enough. And he goes, oh, that would be great. And I went, what? So for 2.5 weeks, every day I'd go to Mangal Arti, and then I'd go into Prabhupada's room, and I would stay there till 9 o'clock at night. Okay, so to get to the end of the story, the pinnacle, this is what I'm leading you all to. So I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, here I am. And Sri Vrindavan Dham, at the lotus feet of the spiritual master of the universe, and it's also Kartik, right? And I'm thinking, wow, I can't get any higher than this. This is the highest you can get. And then I'm sitting there and I'm chanting japa. Right? Chanting the holy name in Sri Vrindavan Dham, which every round is worth 1,000 rounds in Vrindavan. So I'm chanting, and then envy came into my heart, because I looked over next to me, and there was a sannyasi named Trivikram Swami. Do you know who Trivikram Swami is? Anyone know Trivikram Swami? No? Okay, I'll tell you briefly. Trivikram Swami is like Devasa Muni, right? What is it, Devasa Muni? The one that's really heavy and always cursing everyone? Devasa Muni, okay. So he's kind of like that. He's like, house, you know, brahmachari, get out of my way. I'm a sannyasi. Okay, Maharaj. I joined in 1968. Okay. No, but he is actually a pure devotee. I shouldn't joke, but he is like that, but very heavy. But he's also my friend. But I'm sitting there, and you never can tell with him. Like one day he'll be sweet, and next day he'll hit you with his danda, you know? So I'm sitting there, and looking at Maharaj, and Maharaj is at Prabhupada's feet. And he's massaging Prabhupada's feet. And he's rubbing like Prabhupada's legs. And then he's massaging up to Prabhupada's toes. And again, and then he's bowing down and he's putting his head right on Prabhupada's feet. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, oh my Krishna, I am so envious. But then I'm having this debate in my mind. I'm going, Uday, you are so lucky to be in this room. Don't be envious of someone's fortune that's greater than you. Look at what you got. Don't. And in my mind, I'm having this. Then I say, hey, well, maybe I could massage Prabhupada's feet. And I go, no, don't even ask, because, you know, they haven't really. I kind of was like not noticed that I was there. I was just there all day long. And so then finally, I kept on thinking, you know, if you want to sell a book, you want to approach a person, you got to get a line that's going to stop them. Excuse me. Like, I don't want to tell you that line, but excuse me, are you from around here? And they go, what? You know, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to give you this book. Yeah, I'm from around here too. You know, blah, 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 blah. Right? So I'm trying, you want to, like, enter in, like, ask him to buy, you know, purchase what you're asking. Because with Trivikram Swami, he might throw me right out of the room. So I'm just waiting. I'm saying, Krishna, please tell me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna, please, Krishna, I want to go feed the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and the only way we can attain pure devotional service. And then a miracle happened. Trivikram Swami yawned. Going like this. And then immediately I go, oh, now I know exactly what I'm going to say. So I crawled over to Maharaj and I go, Maharaj, I know you've been here all day and you look very tired. And you're working so hard massaging Prabhupada's feet. And I was wondering maybe if it would be all right with you if I could, like, massage Prabhupada's feet also. And he turned and he looked at me like this. And I was like, oh my God, I knew this bad idea, Uday. And he looked at me and he went, okay. And I went, what? And then he says, come over here, I'll show you how to do it. And he said, you first start here. And he said, put your hand right here on his foot. And I was like, shh, shh. And I was massage and down here, and then rub up his legs and be very gentle, because Prabhupada has not much muscle left on his bones and the nerve endings are very, so be very gentle. And his feet were definitely lotus feet. They were the softest substance I've ever touched. And I was massaging, and like, I was like, this, Maharaj? And he goes, yeah, that's good, Uday. I'm just going to sit over here. And I got to massage his feet for 2 hours. And every 10 minutes, I would put my head on his feet. So, and then I got to stay there for 2.5 weeks. And at one point, about the second or third day, Prabhupada said, "Who?" Tamal Krishna Maharaj was sitting there. He said, who is this massaging my feet? And I was like, uh-oh. And they said, oh, it's Udayananda Das from Detroit. Prabhupada smiled and said, oh. And all the hairs on my body stood up on end. I was in, like, total ecstasy. It was like a flood of ecstasy. Because I just wanted to touch. Remember when I was getting, I just wanted to touch his feet. But he gave so much mercy that he let me massage them all day long for hours. And I got to put his feet on my head. You take one step to Krishna, he takes thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of steps towards you. That is the business arrangement we have here. This is our real business. This is our spiritual business. Nothing else. Everything we do out there, external. Unless, of course, you do what you have to do and then give it to Krishna. And you win. Those who keep are losers. And yayatamam prapachante tamstataiva bhajamiya. As you surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reciprocate 1,000 times over. It is in, when I became a devotee 50 years ago, when they started to explain the glories of Krishna and how he's in every atom, he's in your heart. He travels with the Atma from in a dog's body, in a cockroach body, and just waiting for you to turn to him. That was inconceivable. Because if someone rejects me, if someone insults me, oh, there's no God, God's dead, or blah, 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 whatever. I would say, well, forget you, go have a nice life, right? Krishna doesn't like that. Krishna's like, oh, you're turning towards me? And that was inconceivable to me. But my realization after all this time is that Krishna is 1 trillion times more inconceivable to me today than when I first had those experiences. And the fact that he gave me that moment with Srila Prabhupada, when all I wanted to do was touch his feet, was just proof of how Krishna, he is in your heart, and he is your best friend. You give, just go give everything to him, and you will be a winner. My whole life, my mother used to say this, because I was in athletics. I hated to lose. I hated sporting events where you lose in the last few seconds. I hated that, especially. But with Krishna consciousness, you always win. You always win. And everyone you meet, they win. Everyone wins. In the material world, it's like, I want to take everything, be winner, so the rest of you will be losers. I want to make your life so that you just are right on the brink of bankruptcy, right? Right on the brink of starvation. That's the material world. But Krishna's world, what by the mercy of Vidura, Dhritarashtra was able to become liberated. We are unlimitedly more fortunate than this Dhritarashtra. Because we have our Vidura. Radhana Swami is also a Vidura. Bhakti Chu Swami is a Vidura. All these great, Srila Prabhupada is our Vidura. And he is letting all of us get on the ship, which he is the captain of that ship. Stay on that ship, and we will cross the ocean of birth and death. Hare Krishna. So, any questions or comments? Where's that one fellow who always asks questions? Yes, Ru. Yeah, you have a mic. Sorry?
Speak.
Give him a mic.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Prabhuji, we are in the ocean of birth and death.
Right.
So how can we do the chanting or anything that we can get liberated and we can touch his also lotus feet? And go to Krishna.
Okay. Did you not go to Guru Puja today? Were you there? Were you at Guru Puja?
Yes.
Yeah? Were you dancing?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You pushed me also.
Oh, did I push you? Okay. Sorry. You're not supposed to say that. That's a secret move I have. Oh, okay. Let's change the subject. No. That is the same. See, here's the thing. Did you offer a flower to Prabhupada?
Yes. Did you? Yes.
Did you touch his lotus feet?
Yes.
Okay. We're on the same platform. Those are his lotus feet. That is the mercy of Krishna. Every one of these murtis of Srila Prabhupada are none different than Prabhupada. We're not worshipping statues. This deity worship is non-different than being. When we have a little speck in our eye, when we get that speck out through the chanting of Hare Krishna, we'll see, you'll faint. Sometimes I have a moment where I go, oh my God. Anyway, I don't want to go into that. But the point is, just you have done it. The thing is, everyone is sick here, right? We're all sick. We're taking the medicine, and we don't know how much better we got, but we're still sick. We're less sick than we were before we came here. And the more and more you surrender, you actually say, wow, I'm actually getting better. Things will get better. So what you did, that is the process. Everything I just said, you did today.
Yes, like I touched the lotus feet. Yeah. I offered full flowers to Krishna also and Guru also.
And you chanting japa?
Yes.
Perfection of yoga. That's the beautiful thing. The very same thing that you are doing. How long have you been coming to the temple?
Past 3 months. I'm like
3 months.
18 years.
Hari Bol. You're 18 years old.
Yes.
I was 19. No, you're. I was much older than you. So it's very good. You're very fortunate. You won't know your fortune. Hopefully, you will stay. Like, let's see, who's been in the here in this. Movement for 20 years. Who's been coming? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Someone's here, right? Prabhuji, right? How many years? 22? 20? 20 years. So, what he's doing, what I'm doing, and what you're doing is all the same thing. We just know a little bit more, right? That we're why we're doing it. And if you read these books of Srila Prabhupada, these books, even Prabhupada read his books. You read these books, then that will tell you why you're doing this. See, you know, like there's a lot of rituals. Like they had this thing a few days ago for Ganesh. Right, this puja for Ganesh. Okay, like we offer incense and we offer a lamp to Krishna. We offer flowers to Krishna. Where does it say in any shastra you offer a bomb to your deity? Where? I mean, how is it? Boom! Like 2 o'clock in the morning. Jai Ganesh! Boom! You know, blow your hand off. Ah, Jai Ganesh, I lost my ear. And then I asked someone, he said, well, it started back, well, it's a very long tradition, 1920. I go, 1920? We're talking the Vedic culture, 5,000 years. It's not very pleasing. You know, where all the devotees are chanting japa, and they're boom, boom, boom. So disturbing, right? Because they have no knowledge. Tadvidi pradipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadeshanti tekyam jnaninas tattvadarshana. Tattvadarshana means he's seen the truth. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, inquiring from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you, for he has seen the truth. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Jai. Radhanath Swami Jai. Radha Gopinath Jai. Gopal Ji Jai. Nitya Gauranga Jai. Gaur Premanande.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram.